In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today will be a beautiful, wonderful day. Not necessarily the weather. The weather will be okay, hopefully. But we're going to have good time. Very, very good, beneficial, spiritual time. How do I know? How am I assured that much? It's because I'm very sick. And usually when I'm sick, you know, God, you know, works more. So if you see me not normal today, like, you know, don't worry. I have this vertigo thing. Do you know what vertigo is? It's like when you lose your balance and, you know, nausea and stuff like that. It's something with the inner ear. So in case you see me moving, you know, I'm not dancing. Just trying to balance. Okay? Or maybe dancing. You never know. So God works more in our weakness. All right? And if you see me taking out this bag and using it on the side, don't worry, all right? It's all okay. Nausea come with it. All right. So, I'm okay, don't worry. I'm just telling you, so in case you see me going on the side doing something, you don't get worried. Anyways, we have very, 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 very important topic today, okay? And this topic should influence all our life. All our spiritual life. And it's about the Word of God and really dealing with the Word of God. If I ask anyone, including myself, how much do we feed on the Word of God? How am I really filled with the Word of God and using it in my life and using its power? I'm sure will fall short in this. And it is behind a lot of our problems, especially as servants. Okay? So, our goal today is, after this talk, somehow, with the power of God, uses, you know, the weak, or my weakness, is to love, to fall in love in the Word of God, and really to commit ourselves to it. Okay? In a new way. In a different way. We need to, you know, change this image and this picture of the Word of God in our life. Let me start with a story. You may have, it's a legend, it's a story, maybe you've heard of one of the books, the Pilgrim's Progress, where Christian, this guy, he had a fight with Apollyon, okay? And Apollyon is an evil person who represented the devil, and both of them were fighting on a piece of land. Okay? And, you know, you can understand the metaphor, the piece of land could be the kingdom, our life, whatever it is. So they were fighting over a piece of land. And Christian was always winning. So Apollyon decided to see why is he winning all the time. And he discovered that he's winning all the time because he has very, very, very strong weapons, especially a sword, an arrow. Very strong weapons that he wins with these weapons all the time. So Apollyon changed his way of fighting. And instead of fighting on a piece of land, they started to fight over the weapon. He wanted to take the weapon out of him, out of his hands. And if he takes the weapon away from him, he can overcome him very, very, very easily. You want to understand this? Look at your first verse in your outline from Ephesians 6, the spiritual warfare. You know that very well. Actually, let me explain how this works, okay? You can put this, you can bind this, starting with the Word of God on top. Okay, if you want to use it as two sides. Start with the war. Okay? And on Ephesians 6, you remember when St. Paul said, you know, put on the whole armor of God to fight against the devil? And he said, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is your weapon against the enemy. We have a fight with the enemy, constant fight with the enemy. But unfortunately, the war is not war over the kingdom anymore. Now it's a war over the weapon. Which weapon do we use? And the devil's scheme right now is to take the weapon completely from us. So we have nothing to fight with. And the main thing we're going to talk about today, the Word of God as our weapon that the devil is taking away. So we become powerless after that. Remember the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain. He was tempted by the devil 3 times. Okay? And he showed us that in a temptation, in his war with the devil, the weapon that he used in the 3 times with the Word of God. Look at this verse. Jesus answered. In the 3 times he said, it is written. It is written. This is the tool. This is the weapon he used to overcome the devil. It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And I specifically took the first verse that he said in order to, you know, it's very appropriate for us. He said, man shall not live by bread alone. You know what that means? Bread is the basic. If anyone doesn't eat anything, the poorest people eat bread. Bread is the is the food of the poor. So if bread is essential, the Word of God is as essential. Okay? And in the 3 times he fought the devil, it is written. Jesus didn't have to quote from the Old Testament in order to fight the devil. He could have said anything. But he chose to fight every single time with the Word of God to show us that this is the weapon. Really? What if I don't have it? What if I don't have the weapon with me? What if the devil succeeds in stealing the weapon from my hands? That's it. You know, it happened exactly when you read the story of children of Israel. When they were like weak and the Philistines were against them and were fighting them. At a certain point, the whole Israel, couple of million people, they had only one sword. Anyone remembers when David used it? They had only one sword, the sword of Goliath. That's it. What are the swords? Can any country fight without swords back then? No guns, no, you know, tanks, no nothing. They had swords. So the enemy made sure that no one makes any swords. The people who makes the swords, they took them away. They forbid anyone to carry a sword, and how they keep them weak. As a matter of fact, this is what happened to actually Christians lately. You know, Christians in Upper Egypt, the persecuted ones, all of them, every single house used to have a gun and guns and stuff like this and how people protect themselves. But the government, being sneaky, took away all these things, so these people are weak. You can burn their houses, you can destroy them, and they have nothing to fight with. I'm not saying that, you know, they will take out the guns and kill people. You know, all what you need is just the gun. Having the gun or the sword doesn't necessarily you're going to use it. But if I have a sword next to me or a gun next to me, you better believe that no one will get near. Follow me? Sword is not going to kill the devil. You're not going to take the sword of the Spirit and kill the devil. No one can kill the devil. But it scares him. It makes him stay away. Not having it make you weak. Okay? These days, I feel, you know, we're in tough times where really the children of God are very, 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 very weak and tempted easily, and not just the temptations or the lusts and stuff like this, even just the thoughts, the discouragement, the giving up, the hopelessness, the fears, the anxieties, the all these kind of thoughts. We are bombarded by the devil by these thoughts every single day. By the way, the temptation of Jesus came through thoughts. Some of the fathers say that. Not necessarily someone appeared to him, but could be just thoughts. Came the devil, you know, bombard us with thoughts. So many thoughts. Doubts, lusts, judgment, envy, all kind of thoughts. We are bombarded by these thoughts every single day, every single second, I want to say. And we have, when we have no protection, that's the problem. You know, that's the problem. I want to show you let's look at this verse first. When St. Paul spoke about the warfares, he said, in addition to all these, take up the shield of faith. Shield of faith. Shield? You know the shield? Shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Flaming arrows of the evil one. I want you to picture this. I want you to picture that you are standing and the devil is targeting you and he's throwing you with arrows of flame. You know how these used to happen? Arrows, put them in asphalt, burn them. Okay? So it's a flaming arrow. You throw it at someone, doesn't kill him, but at least the fire will burn him. That's how you used to do it in fights. He said the devil is doing that. Actually, we use this sentence in sincere liturgy. See, and protect us from the fiery darts of the evil one or the devil. Do we know that? This is happening all the time. Every day, every second. But if I'm not protected, if I don't have the shield of faith, where do I bring the shield of faith? Faith comes through hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's the verse you have next. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So, we need to carry our weapon all the time. Look at this verse from the book of Nehemiah. When people were building the walls of Jerusalem and the enemies were against them all the time. Should they build? Should I do what I'm supposed to do? Or protect myself? What should I do? Those who build on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that with one hand they worked at construction and with the other held a weapon. That's beautiful. This verse is for us servants. Serve, build, but protect yourself. Very, very, very important. One hand. Don't build with two hands. No, just build with one hand. You follow me? Do you know what that means? Building with one? Which one is more efficient? Building with two hands or one hand? Two, of course. But if you build with two hands, someone is going to attack you from the back. So yeah, build with one hand. That's only what I can do. Maybe I can't do much, but I got to protect myself. Got to carry my weapon, because we go through the two extremes. Should I take care of my spiritual life and pray and read and take retreats and really focus on myself, or should I serve? Do the balance between the two. No one is more important than the other. We should do both. The devil, as I said, the war now is not over the kingdom, but the war is over the weapon now. He wants us to be powerless and weaponless. Okay? So what does he do? He makes us not understand the word of God. And I really mean it. And I'm going to tell you how we don't understand. Really, some days, and I'm sure you've experienced that, some days you love the word of God and you love the Bible, and some days you open, I don't know where this is coming from. I don't understand the thing. And maybe the same thing you read yesterday, you read it today, and there's just darkness. You just don't get it. I don't know what's going on. So, don't understand, or I'm too lazy to do it. That's when I'm in the spirit and I can get something out of it, get too lazy. Or too busy building. So many ways, you know, the devil uses in order to take the weapon away from us. We want to leave today that we are in a constant war all the time. And we want to carry this weapon with us all the time, as much as we can, every second, protected by that. We want to be near the Word of God, not far from it. We want to love God's Word. We want to deal with it, you know, not only as a weapon. The other analogy that I'm going to use now is food. Okay, weapons is a hard thing, but everybody or most of us love food, right? It's very clear. Clear on me, that's what I meant. You know, it's very clear that I love food. We all love food. Food is a good thing. Don't take me wrong. So God said, deal with the Word of God as food, right? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God's mouth. We gotta love it. We gotta make it tasty. Anyone was fasting yesterday and it was very hard to eat fasting food? Use mkhallal. Use some stuff to make it nice. And you keep eating, you know, we don't stop. You know? That's why I'm sick today. We keep eating. So, it is our decision. It's a decision to love God's Word. And it's a decision to be near God's Word. And it's a decision to be protected always. It needs to be our encouragement. When I'm discouraged, it is my encouragement. When I'm down, it lifts me up. It's my source of comfort. Gotta be my source of comfort before people, before running to things. So many times people come and just run for help. Have you even taken the time to sit with God? No. That's what we need. To be our daily food. To be behind our beliefs and our decisions. To use the Word of God to make our decisions. When we pray our Father, we say, give us this day our daily bread. Do you ever think that we're praying for our food? Absolutely not. We're praying for the real bread of life. Okay? Give us this day our daily bread. Make us eat. Make us eat. Blessed those who... This is the beatitude for this week. The hungry and thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We want to be hungry and thirsty. We want to lust over the Word of God, if there is a saying to say it. And believe me, we all go through phases. Some phases I'm not, and some phases I am. So we want to encourage each other, and we want God to encourage us today to do that. When God says that it's like bread, that's how essential it is. That's how essential it is. It's very, very, very important. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. See what Jeremiah says in the following verse? Your words were found, and I ate them. When I say the Word of God is like food, these are not my words. This is what God said. Your words were found, and I ate them. Maybe one day you might want to meditate on how would you eat it, the Word of God. And your word was found to me, the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. The joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. This is really the food of the righteous. This is the food of the children of God. We want to be hungry and never stop eating. We want to develop an appetite for the Word of God. And we want to repent for being dry in this aspect. Really needs repentance and living in a famine. You know, see the following verse from Amos. He said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. I understand famine when there is no food, but the worst famine ever, and the worst disaster, when there is food, but there is no appetite. There is food. And you better believe that the Word of God is in all shapes, all forms, right now, but there's no appetite for it. No one is hungry and no one is thirsty for it. If we who are in the church considered mothers, nurse others. If the mother is hungry and if the mother is in a famine, guess how the kids will be. It's a disaster. When the servants of God are in famine, it's a huge problem. If me and you are not filled, that's a huge problem. Okay? So, as I said today, let's commit ourselves today to love. You want to put to eat? That's fine. But I want you to love it first. Because to love God's word and to commit ourselves to it. Love is a choice, right? And commitment is a choice. We want to make this choice today. Okay? And of course, I put some just, like, I don't want to focus on that, the benefits of God's word, but there is really a ton of it. I can't start to say what are these, but I can give you just some bullets and you can write 10 others. But at least wisdom and guidance. See, the first question that people ask these days, what's God's will? I want to know what's God's will. Why is God doing that? What does that mean? I don't understand God. I don't understand His ways. Like, I need guidance. I see this a lot because people come to me for guidance. And to tell you the truth, a lot of times, I don't know. I'm not God. Sometimes the only one who can answer this question is God Himself. I don't know everything that's going on in your life. You know, I can't solve your problem. I can listen, but I can tell you, I hope God guides you because it's something personal between you and God. I can come in the middle if I'm a prophet or I have the gift of prophecy. Okay? That I, okay, this is happening to you because of this, this, and that. That's when God tells me what's the problem with this person. But thank God I don't have this gift. So, one time, you know, I made myself a prophet. And I thought, okay, I know what the problem is. And I got someone, I told him, your problem is this and that. And he said, you know nothing. Okay, so God told me never to be a prophet. And I said, okay. So, you know, instead of having a prophet per every person, just the easiest thing is just to connect with God and with His word and understand. It gives us faith and the knowledge of God and the love of God. As we said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Knowledge of who God is. It hydrates our spiritual life. You know, it makes us fall in love with God. You want to love God and be away from His word? Good luck. Show me how you do it. Spiritual growth, meaning virtues, growing in virtue, and gifts. How do you know what's the virtue to work on next? And the fourth one, which is important, consistency in spiritual life. The ups and downs that we go through, it's because of that. Because we're not on a good diet on the word of God. St. Paul said that to Timothy. These are some examples. This verse is very important. I want it to be like the theme verse. But it's up to you. And I put it actually in two translations, New King James and NIV, and both of them are beautiful in a sense. When he said to his disciple Timothy, who is a bishop, who is a servant like him, all scripture is given by inspiration of God Look at the, sorry, skip to the following one, which is NIV. All scripture is? God breathed. You know what we, the Orthodox Church call the Word of God? The breath of God. Okay? So it's not just words. And I'm going to explain what that is. Breath. Okay? I'm going to show you what that is. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, can underline this, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Wow. We're not the only one who ran out of battery. Thank God. Maybe you can ask the maintenance people. Yeah. And the following one, NIV, all the scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness. Training in righteousness. Training someone in righteousness, in virtues, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I like the first one. The man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Very essential and necessary for the servants. And he said that until I come, the following one, until I come, devote yourself to public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Be diligently in these matters. Diligently in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. So when you do that, you yourself will progress and people will see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do so, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You will save yourself and your hearers. That's for every servant. Save yourself and your hearers. But that's the most important part. There is a secret. Okay, I'm sure some of you say, well, I've done that. I read the Bible every single day, but nothing really happens. I say, absolutely. And that's something, actually, Jesus himself said, that people will read and they won't understand. And the Bible, and the Bible will be closed in front of them. There is a secret actually behind the Word of God. Oh, thank you. And Jesus said that there is a secret. If you open your Bibles to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 10. And well, I'm going to give you background for that. Is Jesus gave parables, in the parable of the sower. And the parable of the sower, of course, is talking about the Word of God. And he said, you know, the sower threw the seeds, and some of them fell on a road, some on a rocky ground, some with thorns, and some on a good grounds that brought forth fruits. And then he explained later on to the disciples. He didn't explain that to people, but he explained that to his disciples. So I want someone to read from 10 to 16. Susan, 10 to 16.
The disciples came to him and asked, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand."
Yeah, tell 16.
"In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear.
Thank you. They said, why you talk to people in parables? He said, they won't understand. They won't understand. Why they won't understand if you understood what Isaiah said? The eyes of these people and hearts of these people are dull. Why? Because they don't want to come back and be healed. They don't want to change. They're not willing to change. They're resisting. They're afraid that the word will touch them and will touch their hearts and will change their lives. You know, this the last verse. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. They don't want to be healed. They don't want to change. They don't want to change. Problem is, with the word of God, if you take it like any other word, like any other book, it will be closed in front of you. You're not going to see and you're not going to understand unless you take it really serious as the word of God, as the breath of God, and be willing to do whatever it says in it. Because really the only way to prove that these words are so special and so important and really God's word is when I'm willing to do whatever it says. And when I'm willing to do whatever it says, then the Bible will be open in front of me. Then I will be able to understand. Then I can see. That's why Jesus said this, and that's what we use in the litany of the gospel. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Why blessed are they? Because they're willing. They're willing to learn. That's why in the same, in your outline, he said also, this verse, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Strange, huh? He who has ears, let him hear. Anyone doesn't have ears? Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to hear. They're nice words, but not for practical application. Beautiful words. For my friends and for my family and my spouse, but not for me. That's when the Bible gets closed and no one can. It is different than anything we read. That's why when someone came to Jesus and said, how can I inherit the kingdom? The following verses on your outline. What should I do? And Jesus said, what's written in the law? How? And Jesus told him, like, he said, how do I inherit the kingdom of heaven? He said, go obey the law, whatever is written in the law. And then Jesus said, how do you read it? He didn't say, what do you read? You can't tell someone how do you read it, but what you read, what's in it? What's in the law? But he didn't say that. He said, what? How do you read it? What's the attitude? So the man answered. He got it wrong, huh? He thought, Jesus asked him, what's in the law? What's the most important thing in the law? And he said, you love the Lord with your God and with all your heart and your soul and with all of your strength and your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. But that's the wrong answer. Jesus didn't say, what's in the law? He says, how do you read? How do you read it? He said, okay. Jesus answered him, you answered correctly. Then he said something. Do this and you will live. Do this and you will live. That's the secret. That's how the gospel is open to such a person. The attitude of how you read it is very, 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 very important. And what makes the biggest difference and makes the Bible something else and makes it food and makes it weapon and makes it the strength of your life. It's the attitude of how I read it. Read it like any other books, you won't get much. But if you read it as the breath of God, as the living word of God, then you will get a lot. So the question is, how do I read? How do I read? Number one, I believe that it is the living word of God. I believe it is the living word of God. And I take this chance actually to teach you something. When the priest gives you communion, especially the body, because you take the body first, when he gives you the body, he usually says, unless there is like he's giving communion to 5,000 people, he says, the true body and blood of Emmanuel, our God. And before he puts it there, the person should say, I believe. And if it doesn't say, I believe, he shouldn't partake of it. Do you believe that this is the real, the true body and blood of Emmanuel, our God? Do you believe? He says, I believe. And you take it. Same thing. The Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God and the same, the Word of God. So before I read the Bible, I gotta say the same. I believe. Because it's very hard. Like you want to tell me that the divinity and the humanity is in this piece that you give me? Yes. Do you believe? And when I say it, and I mean it, I believe, then communion would be different for me and in my life. So the same thing. Do I believe that this is the living? And I wanted to stress on this word, the living. Okay? And I want you to read the verse underneath where it says, for the word of God is living. I want you to underline this. Is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Again, sword. Piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. And Jesus said the same thing to the disciples. He said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Malish, follow me in this. You know, it's a little bit tricky to understand, but I know you're going to get it. We said it is the breath of God. That's breath, okay? Has life. And then we said it's the living, same thing. And it is powerful. It's not dead. It's not dull. It's something living. It has life in it. What does that mean? That it gives life. Someone is dying, you know, and you do the CPR, and you give him breath, you give him life. Same thing. It's different than the word of man. Why? Because one word from God created the heaven and earth. God's words, when God utters a word, it is a living thing. He said that my words will never come until it does what I want it to, or it reaches whatever I want it to reach. It affects, it makes a difference. Okay? When I tell you, peace be with you, good, I'm praying, I'm hoping you get a peace. But when Jesus tells you, peace, you better believe that you're going to be filled with peace. Because He's the creator of peace. He's the creator of everything. Let it be light. Light is created. Let it be a tree, a baby. And they are created right away. So the word of God is not just any word. But it can create a whole universe with just one word of Him. So if I have this faith, then I should receive every single word differently and with a different attitude. That's why he says, the word of God is living and powerful. The words that I speak to you, they are life. They are powerful. Powerful. I want you to have this word. It's powerful. Okay? It is the breath of God. That's why I put it here and underlined it. The breath of God. then when I read, I don't just understand thoughts, how Jesus did a miracle, but I get the life of Jesus in me. He breathed and I receive. Okay? When God breathes, I receive this. So I receive life. I receive a new life. Okay? But if I believe that this is the living Word of God, and if I take it really, really, really serious. Second, I want to see Jesus in it. I want, not I have to, but I want to see Jesus in it. We say it's the Word of God, so we should find God in it. And the purpose of the scripture is God is finding the Lord Jesus. Not finding wisdom, not finding poems and nice stories, and you know, you can find all of this. And guidance and directions and all, that's fine. But that's not the main purpose. The main purpose of the Word of God is that to find God in it. To know Him, to love Him, to get closer to Him, to see His character, to imitate Him, to receive His Spirit. When we separate the Scripture from the Lord Jesus Himself, then it doesn't become powerful. And it doesn't become living. We don't open the Word of God to find answers, but to find Jesus Himself. He is the Word of God. When I read the Word of God and find Him as the Word of God in it, that when I open, I want to know Him. A lot of times, that's not what we want. To be honest, let's be honest and realistic. A lot of times when you open your quiet time in the morning, part of it is like horoscope, right? Like you want to know how your day will be. And if you have been doing your quiet time last week, it wasn't the best. You know, there was a lot of things that's not really, you know, good. So, I want to know how my day will go. I want to hear nice things. I want to open and say, God tells me, blessed are you, Abu Nabshoy, because you've been toiling for my name. And, you know, I say, Amen, Lord. You know, you really understand me very well. Stuff like this. And how I'm going to bless you and bless the church financially and open it. There's $350,000 is going to come tomorrow. Things like this. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear answers. I want to hear that all your problems will be solved today. You know, Chinese cookies. So, a lot of times, I'm not saying this is all the time. A lot of times, this is our attitude. You know, حظك اليوم. What's in there? Or at least, you know, the nicer part of it is, what do you want to teach me today? I don't want to teach you. My job is not a teacher. My job is a lover. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a spouse. I'm the lover of your soul. I'm not just here to teach you. So a lot of times, we want to learn. And woe to you if you're opening the Bible to prepare a lesson, like me. You know, that's a problem. Because you're not finding Jesus in it. You're finding teaching and materials in it. It's very hard when you deal with it. But if really, when I open it, I really want to see Him. Believing that when I see Him, I find all the answers in Him. I find all my rest, my comfort, and everything in Him. Okay? Not the Word. In other words, sometimes I focus on myself in the Scripture, not on Jesus. That's when I don't see Him. That's why He says, blessed are... And that's why what we say in the litany of the Gospel. We should say, blessed are your ears, for they hear. No? We don't read the Gospel in order to hear Him. We read the Gospel in order to see Him. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Every time the Gospel, we pray. It's a beautiful prayer in the beginning, you know, to prepare you to not to hear God's Word. Not to hear. Blessed are your eyes, for they See, I really have to see him in these words. See this beautiful promise? He who has my commandments and keep them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. And look at this, manifest myself to him. Make myself clear. I will make him see me. I will manifest myself to him. Believe me, if every time you open the Word of God and you see Jesus, you're going to be an addict to the Word of God. You're going to love it. You're going to know what that is. Okay? Manifest myself to him. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And listen to this. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. Do you believe that? Do we believe that? We will come to him and make our home with him. Beautiful promise. The secret of the gospel is I want one word. Seeing Jesus. Jesus. The gospel is made to find Jesus. Right? Not for anything else. Not for anything else. Secret of the gospel is Jesus. When you want him, you will find him. One of the monks, he used to live in Canada when I used to live there, and then he went to the monastery. And then, you know, kids from church went to see him. And they were surprised. Why? He was a good Sunday school teacher and, you know, served and worked and everything. So, like, what made you do that? And he said something that stuck with them. And they came and they just couldn't understand. He said that I wanted just to dedicate myself to the Bible. I wanted to love the Bible. I wanted to eat the Bible. And they, like, didn't understand the thing. But he said that I want to devote my life in order to find Jesus, to spend time with him, to love him, to see him, you know. And it is in the Word of God. It is in the Word of God. Reading the Bible is meeting with the Lord Jesus himself. You gotta believe that. Some people used to read it when they are fasting only, or when they stand or kneel. Remember? That's why we read it in the church while we're standing up. Some people would kneel down or fast, or people really believing that they are meeting Jesus, so they would cleanse themselves first. If I really going to meet him, I better examine myself and examine my life. Because I can't just meet him dirt. Make us worthy. I'm going back to the litany of the gospel. Make us worthy to hear. Make us worthy to. Is there a way to be worthy to hear? Yeah, cleanse first. The sin, any disobedience, anything. So there's no obstacles. You can't just go, okay, let me go see Jesus. No. Like, it needs some preparation. That's why the prayer, make us worthy to hear and act. One other thing is, it makes me read. Makes me read anything as I read it for the first time. Very important. When you read, oh, I know this story. What? This is not a story. I'm not reading it as a story. I'm reading it as finding Jesus in it today. Yes, I read it last year and I put some notes. That's when I met him last year. That's what he's wearing. That's what he was telling me. But today he's saying something else. He's fresh. He's always fresh. He's always new. He's not a boring Sunday school teacher. Believe me. He's the good teacher. He's adorable. You know, it's not boring. If I find the Bible boring, I didn't find Jesus in it. Okay? So, and one thing very important. Let me give you an analogy first. A lot of times I get a phone call from the Pope's office. Politics, the government, the thing, you know, anything, whatever it is. What do I do when I see the call?
Answer very fast.
Wrong.
Pray first.
Pray first. Yeah, I do that sometimes. That's when I don't get in trouble. Sign a cross, pray. Yeah, I do that when I don't get in trouble, as I said. Seriously, no, I'm telling you something really, really serious.
Get rid of anybody,
that's true also. But the thing that when I get the call, I run, right away I run to do something. A pen and a paper. Because the words are very, very, very short, but has to be very accurate. Go do this 1, 2, 3, 4. Sometime I almost lose the call because I'm looking for a pen and a paper. Because I don't want to get the message and don't write it down and don't be accurate and then go do the wrong thing. Okay? Especially if it's something very important. Do we do this with the Word of God? Do we do this with the Word of God? If God is going to talk to me, don't I take these things very serious and very literal and just as careful as possible with that? That's what I mean by, you know, when I really believe, then I will receive and I will deal with it as something else. Okay? So it's very important having a notebook before I open. Number three, that I'm willing to obey whatever God tells me. And that's really the key for the gospel to be open before me. That I'm willing before I open. If you're not ready, don't open. I'm willing to obey whatever God tells me. That's when I understand it like never before. And the more I obey, the more God reveals. The more I obey, the more God reveals. More and more and more and more. Okay? That's the secret of the gospel. Saint Anthony, as an example, heard the word. If you want to be perfect, he was looking for answer. He was looking for God to speak to him. If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have, give to the poor and come and follow me. He did exactly what he heard. What happened to him? He became the teacher of teachers. He became the great Saint Anthony. He became the one who the scholars of the Greeks would come to him, the scholars of the Bible. There are scholars of the words and the backgrounds and the scriptures and all of this. These scholars would come to him who didn't know any Greeks. That's why he used to be called illiterate. He's illiterate meaning that he doesn't know Greek, because it was the language. No one, Coptic was nothing. He didn't know Greek, but he was a spiritual father who knew what God means when he says that. That's why he told my children, go and do this. My children, this is what God wants us to do. The Bible is open to him, because he was willing to obey whatever was said. And that's why when we try to understand what's in the gospel, we go to the fathers of the church. Why? Like these people had more knowledge than us? Absolutely not. We have 10 times knowledge than them. Tons of knowledge. You know, they say that the knowledge we have now is crazy. It's like anyone in high school has more knowledge than the philosophers that used to live back then. We have a lot of knowledge, but it's meaningless. Not with God. Knowledge with God is, what is the knowledge of this world with God? It's nothing. It's nothing, and it profits nothing. But we go back to the fathers of the church to explain the word of God because they were willing. They were listening. They were obeying. The gospel was open to them. Who said that the gospel need a theology school to understand? They understand the background, what it says, but that doesn't do anything. Doesn't change anyone's life. But what's the heart of Jesus? What is the life of Jesus that I find in it? What's the transformation that I can find in the Word of God? That doesn't come by scholars. That's why we go to the early fathers of the church who were illiterate in a way. But the Holy Spirit really filled them and overflowed them. The Word of God without obedience becomes a curse, not a blessing. So be careful of that. And it needs, as I said, repentance before I open. Maybe for the sake of time, I will skip this. Let's read it quickly. Matthew 7:24-27. Matthew 7:24-27. Where it says, anyone read it for us? Anyone? Yeah, 24 to 27.
Who are false Christs and false prophets? Will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect.
No. Matthew 7:24. Oh.
Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall.
So some people may think, you know, if I hear the word of God and really don't do anything about it, it's my loss. You know, it's like, yeah, it'd be better that I listen to it. But if I don't listen, you know, it's my, like, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose. And I'm going to lose a lot. And I'm going to lose everything I built. That's what it says. Not only those who don't hear, it's better not to hear at all. It's better not to hear at all than to hear and not obey. That's what he says. Anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like someone is building a house, but building it for destruction. Building it for destruction. Very dangerous. Another example, and he said after that, or right before that in Matthew 7, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. He who does. And there is another example of knowledge without practice is Balaam, the prophet in the Old Testament. He says that the utterance of Balaam, the son of Beor, and the utterance of the man whose eyes are opened. This man was a prophet. His eyes were opened, as I told you. The utterance of him who hears the word of God and has the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. What happened to this person? He was cursed. He was cursed and he was killed. Why? Because he was not willing to obey that. You know that Balaam, who told Balak to to offend the children of Israel and to cause them to sin in order to be rejected by God. He was helping the enemies. But for us servants, we have a beautiful promise from God. I want to conclude with this. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Anyone who teaches, but not really do all of them, teaches a lot, but do very, very little, he's least. He's going to be in the kingdom. He's going to be least. Listen to this. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And you better believe, and you better take God's word careful. When God says great, means really, 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 really great. The word great in God's language is different than us. We exaggerate. Everything is great. How are you? Great, even though I'm dying. Yeah, great. What's great? There's nothing called great. But when God says great, it means really great. When God says, look at something and say great, it says, anyone who teaches and does these things shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes I listen to something and not really act on it. Yeah, I need to do that. That's called delayed obedience. And delayed obedience is no obedience. Just as bad. Because it sounds nice. Yeah, you know what? I really need to do that. No. If God speaks to you about something, do something about it right away. Meaning, God told you, you have to ask or to apologize to someone. Then you open your computer, you open your phone, and write a note, write a reminder, write the email subject, sorry, and be ready to write this email. When God told you that you got to do something, schedule it right away. Right away. Leave your Bible. Don't finish it. That's God what he said. He said, when you go to the altar to offer your sacrifice and you remember there's something with your brother, leave your sacrifice, go first, do them, and then come and offer your sacrifice. Who cares about finishing my quiet time if I'm not obeying God? Do it right away. Delayed obedience is no obedience. If God told you give, you give right away. You get your checkbook and write it right away. Not, I want to do that. Nope. Doesn't work. The gospel will still be closed before you. Will not be opened. But those who hear and do be called great. That's why we should take the words serious, memorize them. Put them sticky notes, reminders, alarms, like something right away. Look at this. I'll conclude with these verses. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frame of your houses and your gates. You want me to translate this to the 21st century? Put it as the screensaver on your desktop. Put Put sticky notes everywhere. And get them at the background of your iPhone. And email them to people. That's busy with them. They're on my heart. Something on my heart, you know, I want to tell everyone. Everyone I see, I want to tell him, you know, what that is on my heart today. As I said, we're not perfect in that. Things that I'm saying, I'm not doing as I should. And I'm praying that me and you will develop a heart, you know, for the Word of God. Take it serious. Take every word. There's no extra words. You remember when you read stuff and, you know, you forget about 50% because they're just in the... You just understand the context. No. It's really every word. As St. John Chrysostom said, every punctuation, every dot has a meaning in the Word of God. So that's what we want to do. Now, we're going to tell you something practical that will help you take the Word of God serious. I don't know how you read the Bible every day, but I'm going to recommend something that worked with me and it still works with me, which is called the one-year Bible. Okay? You like it, you don't like it. Okay, if you don't have a better plan that's working for you right now, then you gotta do it. Okay? Whether you prefer it or not, you like it or not. If you don't read your Bible regularly, this is what you have to do, okay? You listen to me? Don't listen to them, okay? So, I prepared it for you. Nice pamphlet like this. And I'll show you practically how I do it, okay? Some people get the one-year Bible and read it. It's about 15 minutes reading from the Old Testament and New Testament, the Psalms and the Proverbs, okay? Some people get the Bible itself. I don't do that. What I do is, this is my Bible. So, I don't know if you can notice this or read it or... Then I put bookmarks with the date. So this is 7/24. This is 7/25. Okay? And I put a mark. So I know this is the reading for July 24th. Okay, from this verse to that verse. So I don't need to change my Bible. I can keep it in my Bible, but just mark the days here. Okay? And there is a schedule for that you cover the Bible in one day. And literally takes 15 minutes to be done. Okay? If you're only doing the quiet time as your Bible reading every day, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in a famine. Okay? And you need more. And good luck if the quiet time is like last week, where it's all curses and punishments and stuff like this, okay? You've got to have something with it. So, that's what I want you today to do today. Your quiet time today is going to be different than any other time. Number one, I will have you open the reading for today. One-year Bible doesn't start from January 1st. It starts from any day. And just finishes the same day next year, or you don't finish it because you're going to do it the year after and the after, okay? So, start from now, which is Lamentation of Jeremiah, congratulations. You know, the last two chapters, I think, and I think it's Hebrew. Hebrews in the New Testament, and there's Psalms and Proverbs. The Psalm is like a psalm or half a psalm and a proverb. So it's really, really nice. So I want you to open the reading for the day, mark it in your Bible, read it like you've never read that before. Read it as you read the Word. Practice what we just said. Okay? And see what you are getting out of that. Before you do that, we have some questions for you just to examine how you deal with the Word of God and with your Bible. We're going to pass this to you. So, you examine first. Amir, Malish, there is the stack of paper here with the quiet time. So, do the examination first quickly and then go into the reading. I want you to do the reading like you never did it before, as I said. And I want you to listen to this. I want you to mark a month in advance of the readings. Alright? Because if you don't do that today, I said, Instant, you know, delayed obedience is no obedience. So I want you to do it today. If you don't want to do it in a quiet time, that's fine. I prefer you do it later on. But it has to be today. Okay? So you stick with this reading. Okay? Don't tell me I have a better plan. If your better plan didn't work with you, then you got to stick with this. Unless you're really reading the Bible very well, or you're doing it regularly and stuff like this, forget about what I'm saying now. But if you're not, got no option. Good? I like the freedom of giving no options. Something important with the 1 year Bible, you really need to get something like this, where you get easy introductions for the books of the Bible, and sometimes the chapter, like, you don't understand what's going on and you don't understand the background and stuff like this. That's not a Bible study. That gives just a quick background of what's there. Okay? So something quick like this would help me understand and get something out of it. Okay? After we finish, we have a lot of time for discussions and questions and everything. Like, we have 1 hour for discussions and questions and everything. Unless you have a question now about the quiet time. Yes, Karen. That's a good question. Is the deuterocanonical books, you know, that we have, other than the books in the Bible, we have the deuterocanonical books. To tell you the truth, what I do, for this, the Psalms are repeated twice along the year. So, and I usually, personally, I read the Psalms a lot. Like, I finish the 150 Psalms a lot. So I don't do the Psalms with them. But instead, I can do the deuterocanonical books. So you can replace the Psalms. The Psalms are repeated twice in this plan throughout the year. So instead of the Psalms, you can use the deuterocanonical books. Okay? The weather is beautiful. No, it is. You know, it's not very cold. It's not very cold. It shouldn't be bad. And actually, if you haven't been to this place, is much, much nicer area for sitting and water, stuff like this. But you have to go down the stairs and exit from there. So down the stairs where the food was, and then exit from there. If people like the chapel sense for quiet time, there's a chapel here in this floor. Okay? Quiet and clean and everything. So down the stairs, outside. Take your jackets, you know, your Bible. Pass this by you, okay? Before you leave today, okay? I'm not going to treat you like kids or anything, but I'm going to check your Bibles, okay? So you're going to do it today. You follow me? Okay, this is how you listen to the Word of God and you obey. You're going to do it today, all right? Okay, very good. Like your obedience. We'll pass this. Quick prayer, and then don't take too much time in leaving, because really, we are behind. Lunch starts at 12, but it doesn't need an hour to eat, okay? So if we come 12, 10, 15, you know, you're going to be blessed. If you skip lunch altogether, you know, it's okay. You're not going to die. So take your, that's what I mean, take your time, okay? Do the first sheet of quiet time first, self-examination, and then read the readings for today, for the 1 year Bible. Do your meditation, see what you get out of it, okay? And then come for lunch, and after lunch we'll have discussions and answer all the questions possible. Okay? Any question about quiet time before you go? Any more sheets? Sheets about what? And I printed. Yeah, you'll make. Okay, Susie will make some copies and give anyone who needs. Okay, let's send them for prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, O God, I mean, we thank you, Lord, for your words. We thank you for blessing us, Lord, with your presence. And we want more and more, Lord. We want to be totally disappear, that you may appear, Lord. We want to forget about ourselves, that you may be all in all. We thank you for giving us so many blessings, Lord. Especially how your words, Lord, are available to us in so many ways. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for giving us wonderful promises, Lord, that we, if we really take your words serious and obey them and teach them, we'll be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Help us, Lord, and give us to put on the whole armor of God and to be really protected, Lord, from the enemy and his attacks. As that you guide us, that you bless our gathering and really bless the time of quiet time. As the name of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ, through intercession for Holy Mother, St. Mary, St. Mark, all your saints, we pray thankfully. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Through Christ Jesus our Lord, grant the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.